Well, before we get rudely interrupted by an overhead plane, I mean, you'd want it to be over your head, really, a plane, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want it next to you.
I mean, you wouldn't want it on top of your head, would you? No,
not
okay.
Really, we should probably get started with this podcast.
We should.
We're sat on the floor of luscious, long, glistening grass.
She's lying. We're sat on a park floor that's wet. I've got a damp bottom.
Because where we were going to sit on the benches is next to the road, and you'll never hear anything that we say. So I hope that you appreciate that we are getting soggy bottoms for your benefit, so you can hear what we talk about, because we have many great things to talk about on this episode. Do we, Anna? Do we?
We do many. And for many of our new listeners, they may not have gone full cycle with us, because this is how we used to just roll, didn't we, Claire? We used to get wet bottoms frequently because we literally weren't, we couldn't afford anywhere to go, so we'd just sit on the floor.
So here we are, sat on the floor, reading some of your comments and questions out. That's how this glamour is. Some podcasts go to beautiful, perfectly polished studios where they get free tea and coffee.
Not us.
But not us.
No.
So, you know what we're about to say.
Cue the ukuleles.
Almost part song, yeah. There is a song-related thing coming up later on this episode. But today, we are going to share a few words about shame. We're going to discuss dating, go-to disaster dinners, and some more about non-scale victories. Yeah, lots of different things. I think what we do need to mention is a couple of weeks ago, we asked, where do you listen to the podcast? So I'm Claire and this is Anna, and we are the Slimming World podcast, and we like to kind of take our podcast out on the road, so to speak. Sometimes we're on Zoom, but most of the time when we can, we try and get out and we walk along city centre roads and in parks and in pubs and restaurants and supermarkets and all kinds of places. But we're always curious about, what are you doing right now where you're listening? And when we asked you to send the photos,
wow, I know,
there were so many. It is fascinating, and I think you might find it interesting because you might think what you do is a bit weird, but then you hear what someone else does, and that's really weird. Should we just kind of give people the flavour of, what other people could be doing right now as you're listening to this podcast?
You could be on a steam train.
Maddie was on a steam train.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's a lot of cleaning going on. I'm loving that some U-bends are being polished. We had Leah and Emily who were cleaning people's houses while listening. One of the best things that got me excited was Paul doing some sort of stained glass windowing.
I know. Do you know, it's really weird that we had not one, not two, but three Pauls all tell us what they were doing. One was ironing, one was trucking, and one was doing some stained glass windowing.
Well, when I got the notes through, I thought, oh, Paul's been very busy today. He's been ironing, he's been on the M1, and now he's doing a stained glass window. I then realised it was three different Pauls, but well done.
Yeah, I mean, most of you listened whilst you're walking. That Ruth took us a lovely picture. She's doing a virtual Land's End to John O'Groats challenge at the moment, which she'll complete for her birthday, which is obviously very soon. Hello, fellow Libran.
Loving that. And also someone's chicken tending, cleaning out our 29 rescued chickens at the house of the 29 rescued chickens. They love some homegrown speed food as well. That's how do I say her name?
Eunice is a long-term podcast listener.
Yes.
I remember Eunice.
I wanted to call you Eugene then, Eunice. I've changed your name, but I'm loving the fact that you're cleaning out the chickens. That's brilliant.
What else have we got? Emmy's in a bubble bath. Lots of you send us pictures of you in the bath. Steady on.
Hello.
Steady on.
Strategic bubble.
Fortunately, that picture was just of a candle and the bubbles,
okay.
Nothing else.
We were safe then. We were
Kate
safe.
Kate here. Kate is 71 years old, has been a Slimming World member for many years, originally lost 2 stone, but has struggled over the last 6 years due to bereavement and moving house. The consultant, Yvonne Cartwright, has constantly supported her through it all, loves listening to the podcast when she's out walking, quite often bursts out laughing and immediately look to see if anyone is looking
her.
Yes,
yeah, I love that.
And she took a photo of her road as she's out on the walk. It was dustbin day.
Oh, I do love a dustbin day, because it's almost like you've got to do a little bit of, a little bit of an assault course to get down the road. Look, here's said plane. We said there'd be one soon. Do you know the one that made me chuckle? It was Nicola in a JCB loading skips. It says, "Hi, Anna and Claire. Found your podcast a few months ago on Amazon Music. I usually listen to my radio in my JCB all day while I'm loading skips, but I now listen to you, and you're really helping me stay motivated between groups. So thank you."
Rhianne was in a hospital car park. She had the journal out, the pen at the ready. And Nikki was in the gym whilst on holiday.
I love
this. Whilst on holiday in the gym with her family. As a family, we've taken a big leap into body magic during the time away, which is helping her lose those last sticky pounds to Target.
Sticky pounds, that's such a good way of putting it.
Sticky, yeah. Exactly.
Maureen. Oh my God, Maureen really got me a little bit like empowered when I read this. Maureen's in Shropshire. She's a Target member. She says, "I'm jogging. I'm now 76 and sometimes wonder why the hell I'm bothering with this all. I started to run in my 70s, keeping on top of my weight, etc. Simple answer is pride. I don't want to be the invisible old lady stuck in the corner. I'm part of the fantastic social team, which I named the Famous Five. I would do and do encourage anyone wanting to lose weight to join a Slimming World group. But the most important piece of advice I can give you is stay to group. That's what you're paying for, after all. And it is where the magic happens." Loving Maureen's vibe, jogging.
I mean, we keep getting pictures. Obviously, I think over the next few years, we're going to get pictures where people kind of listen to this in the future.
Yes.
And then they send us the photo then.
I love that.
Do you know what I mean?
How cool is that, though?
Like, I still get the messages about, have I used the lentils, which was in, like, episode 40-something. And I have lentils every week now.
And melon balls. I always get asked about you eating melon balls. For those of you who haven't listened, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So let's just have a look. We've obviously done quite a few different episodes in the last month. People hear kind of reactions about some of the body magic stuff. We're still getting messages about twerk ping pong. Susie says she could see this at the next Olympics.
One of my lovely consultant friends, Amanda, had a game brought into her group and was asked to take part in it in group last week. Wow. So there is an official game you can buy.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Julie here says about body magic, my mobility is so poor, so my body magic is self-propelling my wheelchair.
Wow.
We've discovered some great accessible walks near us, and the amount of time I can self-propel is gradually increasing.
That is hard work. I was in a wheelchair for a little bit.
You've got to have guns of steel.
Oh my God, it's so exhausting, isn't it?
Elaine asks, can we have a leopard print journal with matching pen?
We've got merch on the way, I'm sure. Merch on the way.
We haven't. But...
No, we haven't, but can you imagine?
Don't, we'll start getting, like,
oh my
email.
God. Yay!
Debbie says about August listener's question, I'm going on holiday this month. Hopefully she's been on holiday,
yeah,
I guess.
Maybe that's
is that her on the plane?
Hi!
Hi, we're waving to you.
Hi, Debbie, have a great holiday.
Yep, yep. Debbie says, I've never managed to food optimise a holiday, so listening to the podcast, I've been inspired to give it a go.
Oh.
So in the spirit of making small changes, I'm 100% sure I can food optimise breakfast and lunch every day.
Lovely.
And, like Anna says, I will pick the one thing that I want that day as a treat rather than eating everything in sight.
Oh, good call. Let us know how it went. There's a debate now.
I've got to say, it has since updated since I printed out the or you printed out these comments. Okay,
yeah.
So mini cucumber, like I don't even know what to call it. Mini cucumber gate.
Yeah.
Mini cucumber gate. That sounds like a really cute thing in a little fairy garden,
doesn't it? Welcome to mini cucumber
gate. I'm not a fan of mini cucumbers.
No one
Anna is. But and if you go on our Instagram and look at the reels, you can see there where Anna is
feeding.
Basically blind. I'm blind tasting. A normal cucumber versus a mini cucumber. And I mean, I think it's been like a 50-50 kind of split, well, I would say.
But the way these read, I feel like you've written them all.
No,
this is an anti-cucumber thing.
And biased.
I just want to make a special statement to every mini cucumber out there. Mini cucumbers are very special, and I've never said they tasted different. I just find them more exciting because they're miniature, they're whole, they're in a cute little package. So I just want to say to anyone that is knocking a mini cucumber, they have feelings, so please don't.
I'm desperately trying not to like pull an innuendo there. I mean,
stop it.
She's gifting it to us, guys. You can insert your own innuendo right here.
Right, let's go.
In your mind, if you wish. Right, look, see, Emily says, "Hi, just had to let you know, as a gardener, that gherkins are in the same family as cucumbers, but they have thicker and more spiky skins, which is why they are pickled."
Loving that. So actually the pickling is used because their skin wouldn't be very palatable. It's just a baby cucumber.
Oh, see?
There you go.
It's a bit windy. Sorry about that.
Adam didn't like my baby cucumbers. He says, "Watching our video of taste testing cucumber versus mini cucumber, but weird seeing you having listened to the podcast for the past year. In my head, Anna was similar to Mel, as in Mel and Sue, and Claire was similar to Phoebe Waller-Bridge." I don't even know who that is. Is that
she's an actress? Yeah.
Okay, she's smiling, so that must have been a compliment.
I had to Google Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I've got to be honest, Adam. I didn't know either. I'll take it.
Adam isn't knocking the cucumbers though, but then Amy comes in with, "I'm with Claire Freeman podcast, that they are just cucumbers, haha. I always buy them and they go out of date. My guinea pig loves them." There you go, we've got a fan in a guinea pig.
You said that mini cucumbers were a game changer. I went out and bought some, but nope, they taste just exactly the same as normal cucumbers.
No, I didn't say they tasted different. The actual miniatureness of them was the game changer, Em. I'm sorry if I missold you it there and you thought they were going to taste like chocolate.
Oh, my goodness me. Anyway, we'll talk more about food in a little while. With some of the questions actually go around disaster dinners, and there's also one about protein shakes as well coming up a bit later. But let's just kind of recap, because it's been like quite an important month, particularly in group, I suppose, with like the Woman of the Year nominations.
Yeah.
Like, you've got quite a few groups. I mean, what's the vibe been like?
The vibe's brilliant. So many people have come back. So many people are getting excited. We're thinking about Christmas and the end of year. People are losing weight in a way they haven't done in a long time. And yeah, do you know what's so beautiful? It's just so nice to see the community spirit be there, and you know, everyone be back in the same room. So I'm loving being in group. I've got, I don't even know how many groups I've got in a week anymore. I've lost the plot, but I have three different groups in the week, and they're all so different, but all the vibe is just so positive.
Because like Woman of the Year nominations,
so
are always like, oh yeah, it's quite mosh actually. And I think you kind of get to know people in your group in a way that you didn't know. Like,
yes,
you know, everyone who's nominated kind of sits and gives a little talk and either shows photos or clothes or things like that.
Oh, I love the clothes.
Sorry, you had a little wasp come and say hello to you then.
Oh, did you? Oh, I didn't even notice.
But no, the microphone did.
Oh, the microphone.
Didn't say hello to you. He said hello to everyone else.
The thing I love about Woman of the Year is you get that insight into people's journeys, but also what you don't realise, if you're a nominee and you tell your story, how much you help other people. Woman of the Year final in one of my groups, Linda, who is 76.1, and I had a new lady was starting who had quite a bit of weight to lose, and she said, "She's given me the belief that I can make this happen because I look at her and I can see that it's possible." So I just want to say thank you to every nominee that spoke in every group across the country, because you've helped so many new people, which is brilliant. And we've had lots of people get in touch, haven't we, about it?
Yeah, I mean, like, say Laura here says, "I felt so honoured to be nominated as Woman of the Year. There's so many inspirational women in my group. It's wonderful to know how I have inspired others. Without my amazing consultant and group, I wouldn't be where I am now. Without sounding cliche, we're all inspirational. Losing weight is hard. Hashtag don't give up." I mean, I think what I find within the group, because you know, we often like see stuff on Instagram or on social media or in magazines, but it's almost like they kind of feel like two steps removed from our reality. Whereas when you're sat next to someone and you've got, say, I don't know, when I had 5-6 stone to lose, and then I'm sat next to someone who's lost that,
totally,
like exactly what you said, that it makes it feel, well, if I come to this group and I commit to this journey like they have, then
it's going to happen.
It just feels like it's more within our reach.
Yeah, and I think that's the whole point of it. That's to inspire other people. And I think it's even more, you know, when it's Jackie that you sit next to and she made you a brew last week and she's won it, it goes, this is part of me as well. I've been part of this journey. I love watching it happen.
Well, look, I mean, more planes. We're basically next to Manchester Airport.
We are.
Sorry about that. Bexy, right, had an absolute smasher of a week. I mean, gosh, Like, so she lost 2 pounds. She won Slimmer of the Week. She got a nomination for Woman of the Year. She didn't end up winning the Woman of the Year award, but she was over the moon with the nomination. And that basically now a book is getting filed with all of the bling. Oh. That is some serious bling going in there, isn't it?
I love a bit of bling on a book.
Some shout out to the guys as well. Like Amy and Tara have messaged us to give shout out to their fellas. So Amy said, "I'm really proud of my fella Kieran, who's a Diamond Target member, having achieved his target this time last year." Tara says, "Been away for our first break in 2 years. Congrats to my husband. He was a runner up in the National Man of the Year this year. He lost nearly 11 stone." And I mean, they were kind of stressing how body magic has been key for them as a couple, you know. And she says, "Keep with it, guys. It really does work." Yeah, Alison here. Alison just wondered, you know, I kind of put this under like our achievement section.
Yeah,
because I kind of, this is where it starts, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you start doing these little things and it adds up. And before you know it, you're kind of getting your half stone, your Slimmer of the Weeks, your nominations, whatever. So Alison says, "Hey, Anna and Claire, I'm sitting in my kitchen eating homemade super speedy ratatouille for lunch with a very smug grin on my little face." You may remember that I emailed you back in June, a broken woman who could only wear leggings and was just about squeezing into her uniform. Today, I'm wearing skinny jeans. Yes, you heard me.
Skinny!
Jeans.
Love that!
Skinny jeans that haven't gone near me in 2 years. Is that the skinny jean police? The skinny jean police are on their way! To date, I've lost a stone.
Oh,
it's been slow but consistent. I don't know, sometimes when I tried to put my skinny jeans on, I need a blooming ambulance.
Where I've worn them and eaten.
Yeah. To date, I've lost a stone. It's been slow but consistent. I'm totally in the food optimising zone. No more secret eating. I'm journaling like a mad woman.
Oh, wow.
I listen to you almost every day, mostly when driving to and from work and when I'm meal prepping on my days off. You girls have inspired me to be the best me. You've made me laugh when I was down. And above all, you have given me hope and the belief in myself to achieve my dream of a strong, healthy body. I can't thank you enough, Alison. What an update.
I mean, yes, thank you for sharing that. I'm just loving skinny jeans and I can just imagine you now at your table smiling, eating your ratatouille. Like, yes, get in. Well done.
So we also got, honestly, on this podcast, I'm always amazed at how you connect with us. Some of you send us drawings. You know, we've had sketches.
Yeah.
We've had, like, mind maps. We've had videos. We've had poems. We've had songs.
We've had raps.
Yeah, we've had raps. And then we get voice notes This is a new thing. So Claire sent us a voice note and she was out walking the kids and she has been leaning on listening to the podcast while she's not working at the moment. And Claire, you made us laugh so much. You were talking about how you never realised, you'd done Slimming World a few times, but you never realised kind of how to kind of really make it stick and perhaps some of the light bulb moments that you didn't realise that you needed. So you were talking about how one of the things that you realised was, oh, I don't need to do that.
Yes.
This is like a new statement that she kind of has that comes around her head. And how she doesn't have to kind of live within this tight, rigid corset that she'd been punishing herself with for years. That if she wants to go to soft play and have courgette fritters, then fine. Have it, factor it into the plan, and then continue food optimizing the rest of the day. And that's how you make this a lifestyle.
She's
and
got it.
You know, and it was really nice just to hear her voice as well and her talking, and she was rambling and I felt like we were on the walk with the pushchair with her. And it was just really lovely to kind of hear just the voice of someone. So you know, if you're not someone who likes to kind of write long emails, then
voice
there are other ways you can connect.
Love that.
Draw us what you wish to share.
I still want someone to send me a carrier pigeon though with a little note on its foot.
No
okay, that's not good.
No,
but could you maybe send me a fake carrier pigeon with a note around it, or a message in a bottle? Can we have a message in a bottle?
Because we don't have an address.
Okay,
we have no address. You can
draw it.
Somebody draw her a pigeon, a picture of a pigeon.
Or can you imagine if you just sent a message in a bottle to the Slimming World podcast to see how many years it took to get to us? Claire's like, Anna, no, you're not getting a message in a bottle. Shall we move on then?
It's littering the world.
Oh, okay, all right, okay. God, she always brings me back down to blinking her.
Oh, God. Right.
Where are you going now?
Oh, I've got to move my leg. My bum's, like, gone a bit numb.
Yeah, Claire's been working out far too much. She literally can't move.
I'm just going to rock backwards and forwards. Okay, like, let's get into this, like, food thing.
This is my favourite thing. Food.
First of all, let's go to Laura, who talks about disaster dinner.
Okay.
She says, what is your go-to meal when all of your carefully made plans go to pot? Mine is fish fingers, chips and salad.
Oh, nice, cool.
This is kind of something that comes up when we get into, like, the mindset kind of subjects here. I think you can kind of see where it's sometimes you have, like, you spend that time doing your lovely food shop and your lovely menu planning, and then about 2 days in, you've just lost it. Something's happened at work, something's happened in your family, you've had an argument or you've fallen out or you didn't sleep that great the night before, and boom, before you know it, you're dangling off the cliff edge into the abyss of sugar, chocolate, cake, biscuits, crisps, alcohol.
Is that Claire's life? Just a little flash? I felt we just went into your world for a second. Do you know what mine is? The thing that gets me out of a deep, dark hole and is so easy to make. It's carbonara. Just some eggs, some parmesan. If you've got a bit of bacon and some mushrooms, chuck it in, and a bit of pasta. So comforting, never rejects, and so quick to make. Mm. It's really, really tasty. Like, I get excited thinking about it. And I always think if your food excites you, you're onto a winner.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting just having, just when you don't know where to start, just having that one meal that you can think, right, I can do that. Like jacket potato for me.
Oh, love a jacket potato.
Jacket potato with beans and cheese
requires
no effort. And actually, sometimes when I am working from home,
so easy.
I will just put like a few potatoes in the oven and then they're nice and crispy. Mm. Some people at group were talking about how they cook the jacket potatoes in the microwave for a bit and then they finish them off in the air fryer.
Oh, air fryer?
To crisp it.
How clever.
So then you don't have to spend like an hour and a half
I cook them in the oven. I do like eight at a time and then just whack them in the microwave. So Daisy's obviously started school and I got the little thing back about what she'd eaten. Last week she had 5 jacket potatoes, baked beans and cheese.
Aww.
She said, Mummy, it just makes my tummy happy at lunchtime. Do you know what? And it's so true with a jacket potato.
Yeah.
I often get knocked for it, but don't judge a person on their jacket potato.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it? Because like we've got like a stone bake. So sometimes as well, last week, I just couldn't be bothered. And I said, we've got pasta. We've got soya mince. We've got chopped like tomatoes and passata. Just put it all
Did
in.
Did you
and,
all put it in one?
Yeah, bit of onion.
Nice.
Bit of celery, bit of carrot and a bit of a squidgy pepper.
Oh, I mean,
it's fine
pepper,
when you really roast it a bit.
And
before I knew it,
it
was a pasta bake and it was done and we had like 6 portions.
That's the thing. Sometimes it's taking the stress and the thinking out. An omelette, if you are an egg eater, is always a good one in my world.
I've got to say, as a vegan, I do. I do miss quiche and omelettes.
Yeah.
Because for me, they were kind of quick go-tos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't found my kind of substitute for that. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It's something that just you enjoy that's a no-brainer. I think we've all got to have a repertoire of them, haven't we?
Yeah, and it's interesting because you know like what Claire was saying. Was it Claire or...
Laura. No.
Hang
Should we
on.
Just throw a name in there?
Someone was saying earlier how like you know you don't have to it was Claire because
on the voice note
how you don't just have to go like oh god I've pooed it up now that's it I'll write it off I'll just deal with it I'll just go and weigh in and then just start again next week actually it's like right what one meal can bring me back to the FO right now
or think as naturally slim people
FO
too.
Could also stand for other things can't it let's be honest do you want a FO or do you want a FO you know what I mean feels like a merch t-shirt doesn't it Are you truly 100% FO-ing right now? Which one is it?
I'm having a leopard print free food is my friend t-shirt. Should we move on to a question?
So our answer was eggs and potatoes.
Essentially. and pasta. Can't go wrong with a bit of pasta.
A lady called Alison here asks about protein shakes. She says, I know Claire has them. She has mentioned it before on the podcast. I just wondered, how do you incorporate them into the plan? The way I've had them before is adding fruit and veg like spinach to them, which obviously fills me up and is way too many sins, but how do you have yours? Lol. Thanks in advance, Alison.
So...
What does the consultant say?
Well, the consultant and the slimmer in me says, just be thinking about why do you want a protein shake? Because we were talking about this, like, is it because you've done a workout and you feel you need that hit? I would always say, Are you getting enough pure protein from your food? Because I think sometimes the reason you're having these is because you want a protein hit, but you could get it in other things that is going to be free and not cost you any sins. Because always my concern if you're going for like a protein shake or something like that is, are you going to be skipping a meal? Are you using sins that you don't need to, when actually something like some really great quark and some fruit, or you know, maybe some eggs, or you know, if you're vegan, go for some tofu or some lentils. Lots of protein rich foods would mean that you wouldn't need to sin it, would be my first thought. If you do want to have it, then your sins are there to be used in however you want to use them. So if you wanted to smoothie some fruit with it, you could absolutely do that. The only thing to be mindful of is making sure that you are sinning it, because Claire pointed this out to me, sinning the actual amount you're having.
Well, you never get it. You never get protein shake delivered to you in 25 gram portions.
No, of course.
It's one massive bag with a massive scoop.
Yeah.
And if you actually take a scoop and level it off, for me, my one is about 33 grams.
Right, okay. And the sins is about 25.
Well, for
grams,
25
isn't it?
Grams, it's 5 sins. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would just say, maybe looking back at your free food, and could you harness that in a way that maybe meant that you didn't need the protein shake? What would you think? What would you say, Claire? What would you think?
I think sometimes I felt like I was risking using it as a meal replacement,
yeah,
like you were saying, and in reality, I was actually quite hungry, and I probably needed to have a better meal. And it slightly kind of, I suppose, it dives into a bit of old habits where I would skip meals. I'd think that I don't need to eat a lot because I'm on a diet. I don't want to overeat and consume too many calories. That's probably not that bad.
Yep.
It moves me away from more like a whole food approach, which yes. I think a lot about Slimming World is kind of focusing on what is in what you're eating. Can you see it? Can you buy it in its purest form? And once you start moving away from that, and you can kind of slip into, like, we know there's the diets out there that are kind of focused around shakes and stuff and meal replacers. It's a bit weird, because would you have your meal and a protein shake? Most times you probably wouldn't have both.
Yeah, totally. I think for me, I just always think, actually, how can I spend my sins in the best and most enjoyable way for me? And if that's a protein shake for this lady, Alison, brilliant. Yeah, but if it's not, then maybe that's a time to have a little look. Hope that helps.
One of the things I realised, I quite like cereal for breakfast.
I love cereal.
But, I don't have quark. I don't have... you know, Skia or whatever that Skia. It's absolute Skia.
Yeah, it probably is.
But like, so I miss out on some of the protein hits. So then sometimes I might make my protein shake as my milk to go in my cereal. And then I have a bit of that in my cereal with my fruit and my speed and stuff. And then finish off the rest as a drink. So that's how I'm just getting a little bit boost in protein. Even like as a nice kind of hot chocolatey shake type thing, as a dessert or an evening meal if I want a bit of a top up.
But exciting.
Yeah, it's protein is an interesting one, isn't it?
I'm very passionate about protein, as are you, because I think if you don't get enough in, you're going to feel hungry, you're
going to
feel tired, you're not going to be satisfied. And I think it's a massive thing that people miss out on their weight loss journeys. Protein, I have seen people change their approach to protein and absolutely nail their weight losses. Really, really have so. Get on the protein gang.
It's funny you say that, because like Body Magic obviously is something that like is encouraged, like particularly as you get closer to target, you need to find that way to kind of maintain and make this stick. And obviously the more Body Magic that you're doing, then it helps, like, do you want to make sure you're drinking enough water, you have enough protein.
You want to fuel your body for activity, don't you? And actually, if you don't have enough protein, a lot of slow-releasing carbs, and you're not hydrated, you're not going to be at your optimum, are you?
No. See, Jasmine sent a message saying about she wanted to ask me whether I how I'm getting on my steps, because she listened to a real old episode, like February 2019.
Jeepers creepers.
And I mentioned that I'd walked 3 million steps the year before. Did I manage to beat this by doing 8,241 steps per day?
Oh my gosh.
I actually went back, because when you go on to Fitbit on the dashboard, other watches are available. I would like to add that caveat. But you actually get to log on the dashboard, and you can put from time and when how many steps.
Like a bank statement.
And then I divided it by how many days there are in the year.
Wow.
Because obviously 2020 was a leap year, right? So you got an extra day in there.
Makes a difference.
Well, 2019, I averaged 8,031 steps a day.
Wow.
2020, I averaged 7,797.
But there was an extra day.
Yeah, there was, but that's a drop. I mean, no, in 2020, not all of us were moving as much anyway.
No.
But then in 2021, so far, it's only 262 days at time of recording, I've averaged 10,131.
Wow.
So I have upped my daily step average by quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought that was quite interesting because I was like, is that what's kind of helping me get to target? Is that what's keeping the weight off? Because I'm moving more.
It definitely will help.
And that was something in 2018, 2019, when we first started recording, that was kind of quite new for me. And I was starting to work out where I get those steps in and how's it working in my life. So Jasmine, thanks for the little reminder, because I think it's good, you know, if you're someone who has been not necessarily getting all the weight loss you're getting, and you want to look for some of these non-scale victories, which we'll also mention in a moment. These kind of little like records are like good to kind of see where you've come
your
from
progress.
And where you are.
Yeah.
I was saying to my group the other day, we all need celebrating, we all need strokes, we all need to know that we're doing well. And these are great little things to look at, because actually you can see your progression. Love that.
Yeah. So then, like, let's look at
Another plane. Bye.
See ya. Bye. Have a great time. Let's have a look at like this idea about mindset, okay? Because there's quite a few people who, as we predicted in September, are like, right, summer is over. I want to get back on it. But it's quite a lot to kind of get in. I mean, let me just pick out Wendy at the moment. Wendy sent us the most heartbreaking message, but I know for a fact, Wendy, that you are not on your own. She joined a couple of years ago. She lost 5 stone, then lockdown happened and she left. Now she's put 4 stone back on, and she really wants to get back to group, but she feels so ashamed. She's ashamed to go back to group with all that weight, and she's listening to all the comments and the feedback that we're giving on this podcast, and it's spurring her to go back to group, but she's also in a pickle, you know, of what to do. Should she get her history back? Should she start again? And I'm sure that there are many people who are feeling this way, right?
I just need to reassure you, Wendy, I have had so many messages from my previous members, from other people's members, saying exactly the same thing. And I need you to know this from the bottom of my heart, and every Slimming World consultant's heart, there is nothing to be ashamed about. You are being so brilliant and so brave by walking back in the door, and that is so courageous that, you know, you'll walk in and you'll be like, oh, okay, I get it. There are other people in the same situation. For example, on Saturday, I had 4 people come back that I haven't seen in 2.5 years, and they had all put weight back on, and that was totally fine because they were addressing it, they were dealing with it, and we were able to support them. So please know there is nothing to be ashamed of. You are human. The thing I would say to you is, it's really key that this is your decision. You can decide that you want to keep your history and go from when you were last in group. Or you could decide to kind of reset and rejoin. The thing I would say to you is, if keeping your history is going to make you feel in any way not positive, then I'd ditch it. If it's going to be like, I've got to get back there, ditch it. Because actually this is a new phase in your life. This is a new part in your journey. It's a brand new journey. You've got different amount of weight to lose. Your head's in a different space. And we've both been in this position. And I personally started afresh because I wanted new stickers. I also wanted to go, this is a new me. I've learnt from last time. And actually, I'm going to carve out a new journey. But again, you may feel in the mindset that you want to finish the journey you started. So I would say, be guided by your gut. And do what you think is going to be the most positive vibe. And if that is a clean slate, then go and get one. Mm. What do you think?
It's tough.
Hard one, isn't it?
I think, like, the main thing is, like, you know, just seeing that you put the word shamed and ashamed twice in your message. And you don't need to add, like, a ball and chain to the amount of things that we already carry. So if that history is another ball and chain for you to drag through life, just get rid of it.
It's not useful to you. Ditch it.
Shame is like an invisible thing, right? But once you acknowledge it and you face it and you kind of admit that there's this thing going on, you write it down, you see the words, you know, just even when I had to kind of look and write down and say, I'm ashamed of how I look right now. I'm ashamed of the fact that I've let myself go. I'm ashamed that I was doing so well and then I quit. And now I'm even worse than where I was. Yeah. By saying that out loud, by writing it down, you're already kind of starting to work with it. And shame is like a balloon, right? You can either keep denying it, keep avoiding it, keep not looking at it, and the balloon gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. If you actually start to kind of look into the center of that balloon and say, I see you, I'm hearing you, I'm acknowledging you, it will deflate.
Love that.
And it's the only way that you can deflate it. I mean, if you want to read more about shame, I'd highly recommend checking out this lady called Brené Brown. Her first name is spelled B-R-E-N-E. If you don't want to pay for books, you're not into reading, just go onto the YouTube and type in Brené Brown TED Talks and just watch her TED Talk. She really tells you about what shame is about and how, in a weird way, we're all carrying shame,
of
lots of different things. A lot of it is like kind of masked by fears, by these behaviors that we carry, by these kind of cassette tapes that we play in our heads that we just repeat over and over and over again, and which half the time we don't even realize until we kind of make that step, until we kind of look at the emotional, the psychological situation about why are we eating these foods, why are we doing these food habits. And we find new kind of coping strategies, we build our toolbox, and that takes years in practice, and you kind of put one tool in, nope, that doesn't work for me. I always find it interesting, like people who say about like hi-fi bars can sometimes be a trigger for some people.
Yeah,
yeah, of course, like we're here, we're sponsored by Simon Wool, we should say go buy your hi-fi bars in group, but I personally had to step away from hi-fi bars because for me I found it was a gateway into old behaviours
of
but it's kind of healthy, I'll eat the whole box.
But that's the whole point, and I think as a Simon Wool consultant I'm the first person to say hi-fi bars are brilliant, but if they are a trigger, you know, don't buy them. Like, and that's a really key thing to acknowledge with anything, isn't it? I think the really important thing for anybody that's thinking about coming back is knowing that every consultant has been in your space, and we are just so delighted that you've had the courage to come back. So I always strip it back to, yes, you've gained some weight, but when you actually look at that as a physical thing, what have you done that's so wrong? You've gained some weight, and it's knowing that actually what's holding you back is your mindset about the weight gain and what that signifies. So if you can be strong enough to brush that off and walk through the door, you can lose it. You really can. So Wendy, will you keep us posted about you getting back to group? Because I really want to make sure you're okay. Can I look after you?
I mean, and we always say this, it is meant to be fun as well. You know, like, I know it's difficult when you've got like a lot of history and there's a lot of kind of, you know, there's a lot of deep-rooted things that kind of sometimes need therapy and there's trauma attached to it and stuff. But you are meant to smile, and this can be fun if you allow it.
I think, it's knowing that weight loss is one of the toughest things you do, or I've ever done, but actually what comes out of it is something so brilliant, and if you can enjoy the process, then actually, you know, you're winning if you can take some joy out of it. So, yeah, good luck, Wendy.
Yeah, so Sanchia says, got any tips to help me switch my brain back into Slim and Wool planning mode? Went to my cousin's wedding a few weeks ago. I enjoyed myself, but it's all been downhill from there. I feel gross, lethargic, uncomfortable, fatigued. My chronic pain is worse than usual. I really don't like feeling this way, but I want to do better. But I just can't seem to get that little switch in my brain to turn back on. Help!
Oh, do you know, sweetheart, I have seen so many people. I've been here. Claire and I have both been here. I'm just thinking two episodes that might help you. The YMCA one and the, I'm stuck. I don't know why I need to sit like that. I'm stuck. Because to me, anybody when they're struggling to find that switch, it's the why. You're feeling very much like, I should. I'm feeling gross. I'm feeling lethargic. I'm fatigued. I've got chronic pain. But that's not enough to push you. That's not enough for the switch. So it's about maybe sitting down, getting some headspace and saying, actually, let's break this down. What is going to motivate me to food optimize this week? What is going to motivate me to food optimize next week? And breaking it down into something that propels you to do it, rather than telling yourself, you're rubbish, you should be doing it. Look at you, you feel gross, you feel lethargic, you feel uncomfortable. Actually looking at the reason why you want to do it, because we both had it. If you don't have a strong reason why you want to make this happen, do you know what? You can feel as rubbish about yourself as you want, but you haven't got the impetus to do it. So I would definitely recommend those two episodes. I would also recommend getting back to group if you're not already in group and talking to your consultant about it and a for and against list, because that might really, really help you. And also looking at it in a smaller chunk. Does that make sense? Like, I meet so many people who feel I've got to be perfect. And we've talked about this a lot, haven't we? That pressure of perfection. If I'm going to do this, I've got to do it. And I've got to do it right. And I've got to lose 7 pounds in my first week. And I've got to get slim of the week on week three. And rah-rah. No, actually, I've just tipped up. And I'm going to see if I can eat some green vegetables this week. So maybe it's about taking some pressure off as well.
Yeah, it's funny what you say about that why, because there was a lady in my group who is just out of her target range, and she was kind of saying, I'm really struggling with the motivation here because I can still go out walking, I can still my exercise, I'm still fitting in the same clothes. Like, you know, just being those few pounds out, it's really hard to just kind of like get back in the zone, because ultimately she's like, well, what difference is it going to make? And her mind's kind of playing tricks with her.
Yeah, but it's recognising that slippery slope. Like, I did a lot of stuff with my group about the end of the year and how you're feeling about Christmas. And it's remembering, yeah, a couple of pounds is fine when it's a couple of pounds. But how many of us have started off just being a couple of pounds away from where we want to be, and then before we know it, we're 3 stone away from where we want to be? So I think it's recognizing your propensity to move in certain ways and what you need for yourself. Is it that you need a really great fun buzzy group? Is it that you need a chilled out group? Is it that you need a buddy? What is it for you that you need? But also, don't wait for the switch to come on with the brightest light, because sometimes, like I often say, my want is like a tea light at 3 a.m. that's been on all night. It is withered, it is battered, but I know it's going to keep flickering if I just try.
Yeah, so just staying with that kind of, I guess, like the coping strategies, really. Like, Gemma sent us a message. So Gemma says, I'm 21, I've just rejoined Slimming World after just under a year off. I put a lot of the 5 stone I lost back on. I love the podcast, it's really helped me. Me and my mum listen to you all the times on our walks during lockdown. We listen to everyone. You really made her laugh so much. We found out my mum's cancer had spread and she had 6 brain tumours in April 2020. She had one on the spine which stopped her being able to walk, so we switched to listen to the podcast in her bed. Every time the ukuleles came on, she did a little dance. She passed away 2 months ago, and of course, I'm devastated. I know Anna has said before that when her dad died, having control of her food was one of the things that helped a little. I've taken that advice and it's given me something to focus on. I lost 11.5 pounds in my first week. I just want to thank you for giving me something to listen to when the silence is heartbreaking, and for all of your wonderful advice. I wonder if you can help me though with some strategies on how to cope with sometimes feeling like I can't eat anything and sometimes feeling like I need to eat everything. Thank you for making my mum and I laugh when our worlds were really completely crashing down around us. Wow.
Oh, gosh. Gemma, thank you so much for messaging, and I'm so sorry to hear about your mum. And it sounds like she put up a courageous fight, and I'm so glad that we were given a little bit of a giggle. I think you're remarkable. I honestly do. And, you know, the advice I can personally give you, having gone through something similar, is it's understanding that this is going to come at you like waves, and the waves will crash really high, but then they'll dip really low. And sometimes it's recognizing that you're not going to have the even keel that you've once had. So it's planning and looking for, you know, I can remember very clearly what you're saying. Like, sometimes I just, the thought of food used to make me want to be sick. Just the thought of eating, like, it was all the anxiety and everything. But then I'd get this hunger that was insatiable. It was like I'd never eaten before. So what I always tried to do was make sure that I had things in that could hit either spot. So for me, chicken soup, like the Jewish penicillin, was my thing. I knew when I really didn't want to eat, it gave me some nutrients. I could get some carrots and a little bit of pasta in it. So I always had that knocking around. But then I also had things that were really tasty and that I could just eat really well, but in control, but still feel really good about. Does that make sense? So like the pasta, the chips, having loaves and crisps around, being able to make a Slimming World cake and stuff like that. And what I tried to do was it to be a positive focus. So actually the food was something I got joy out of making, or the food shopping was something that diverted my attention for a little bit. So almost trying to make it a bit more fun. And also, too, just having easy things. Because some days, Gemma, and I'm sure you've experienced this, you can't get your head off the pillow and the thought of cooking is not going to happen. So you just got to eat and you just got to have something you can grab. But above all, the biggest thing I'm going to say is no pressure. Because actually, the worst thing you can do to yourself right now is add to the way you're feeling with pressure of, oh my God, I should be doing better, or I should have lost more weight. The fact of where you're at and you are trying and you're 21 years old, I think is immensely courageous. So they would be my tips. But again, everyone's different. Another thing, just thinking about it, that really helped me was just when I felt really crap, was just to think, I wanted to swear really badly then, was to think, what would Dad say? And Dad would say, come on, Anna, don't eat the hobnobs. Come on, Anna, don't order the KFC or whatever it was. And just hearing what he might say. So maybe thinking about how your mum would be supporting you in this. And I know that's a really tough thing to hear and feel, but maybe like thinking about her spirit when you're feeling a bit rocky with it.
Yeah. Oh. It's also, I suppose, like about, in those situations, you have to kind of, for me, I'd have to like put the numbers aside and focus 100%. On the habits and the yes. consistency, like yes. building consistent, healthy habits. Like, is it good for you to be in a group with other people who are kind of on a similar journey to you? Is that like a good community?
Yeah.
Good people, find positive people that are going to support you and surround you. I think like when my mom had her heart attack, it almost gave me like a different spin on why I was doing Snimmable, because I thought, and I think you'd said it in the diabetes episode, here's something that we can do something about. We can take control of our weight and our food and our health. And it was kind of like a wake-up call to kind of see someone that you love in so much pain and so poorly that you think, no, health really is a superpower, and too many of us take it for granted.
100%.
It could be taken away at any point, so why would we continue, like for me, why would I continue to abuse myself really and make this worse with all this secondary pain that I'm causing myself? You know, we can't always control what our genes and our DNA and various things that are happening, but we can do our bit where possible.
And it's also remembering, Gemma, that for me, grief, you know, is so different day to day. And some days you think you've got it nailed and you're okay, and other days you just feel like you're back to square one. Someone said to me, it's like when you first lose someone, it's like having a tiny, tiny little jar with a massive marble in it. That's how grief feels. But as you get time away from it, the jar gets bigger and the marble stays the same size. So you get distance from it. So you're very new to this. So I think it's just knowing that the way you deal with it is going to evolve day by day, and giving yourself permission and space that's absolutely fine is really key. But Gemma, loads and loads of love out there to you.
You know, like I can't remember what the exact phrase was, but I was reading about how emotions are just data, like for us to kind of process. So like it's like hello, you're feeling sad today, you maybe need to dial back. And whereas before I kind of be like, I haven't got time for that, I don't really want to think about it, don't want to go down that route. If I start crying, I'll never stop crying. So I'm just going to swallow it. Oh my God, I've exploded. And like seeing emotions as data,
that's so interesting, isn't it?
Which taps into the whole science-y thing. But I think sometimes it gives you a bit of relief, because when you feel like you're not in control of these waves.
But it's also knowing you're not in control of those waves. Like, they do come over you, and it's knowing that that's cool as well. But once you've been through a few of those waves, you learn how they come. Does that make sense? Like, oh, look, my dad had a favourite sweet. He was obsessed by them, so much so that when dad was a double amputee, we found lots of these sweets in the hollowed out leg he was hiding. And I remember seeing them in a supermarket and just hysterically sobbing, like I couldn't control it was like a convulsion. So I knew the next time I went in the supermarket, actually, if I saw those sweets, I had to be prepared for it. So I think it's getting to know yourself. But I think that knowing the data thing is very important, like you said, because it then says to you, well, I can choose to deal with this one or two ways. I can acknowledge it, I can deal with it, or I can try and suppress it. And grief, the worst thing for me I could do was suppress it. I had to let it out. You know, I had a slightly different situation. I just found out I was pregnant as well. So I had that almost enormity of having to keep myself well and strong and all of that. But I think there's no easy answer, Gemma, and I wish I could give you a strategy to say do X, Y, and Z, but sadly it's finding what you're going to feel like day to day is very different. So in terms of food, just having lots of different things to meet every need that you might have.
Yeah, lots of love, Gemma. Keep us posted on what's happening behind the scenes for you. Joe talked about like the impact, maybe the words that we use and our behaviours around like our thoughts on weight, what that has on children.
So interesting. So
she says, I have a daughter. I'm really worried about how my relationship with food will impact her. I feel like I've wasted a lot of my life worrying about my body. I don't want her to do the same. Have you got any ideas?
Oh, Joe, this is like the conversation I had in my head when I was pregnant with Daisy. Because I remember thinking, I'm going to have a little girl and I don't want her to have anybody hang-ups. I also don't want her to look at the way I talk or feel about myself in any negative way. So I made a real, real impact. Like, I never use the word or the saying around her or in any of her hearing, do I look fat in this? Do I look okay in this? So I always make sure we're celebrating our bodies. But also in terms of food, nothing's off limits for days. So there are things, and the way I explain it to her is, there are everyday, all the time foods. So they are almost like free foods, really. There are foods that are occasional foods, because do you know what? If we ate all of them all of the time, our bones and our, and I've got a 4-year-old, so it's different, our bones and our teeth are not going to go strong. But actually, she can eat anything she wants, because what I want for her is that I want her to have the freedom to not have an association that is negative. So I don't want her to think things are good or bad, because actually, if what she can learn is something I didn't learn, was moderation. So actually, if I eat lots of broccoli and lovely mashed potatoes and my chicken with my gravy, then I can have a beautiful pudding afterwards. But I know I get filled up by all the healthy, yummy, gorgeous fruits and vegetables. So I'm really trying to empower her with choice and understanding of things. But at the same time, I've had to work really hard to know that I then don't let anything come out in the way that maybe I'm feeling. So, you know, if I'm trying something on and I go, Phil, gosh, do my thighs look big in this? Or will my arms work? I would never say that in front of her. And Phil always makes a point of going, wow, Mummy, you look really gorgeous. But also, Mummy, you're really clever. So we're trying to celebrate things that are not about looks and fat and all of that. So I think it's knowing, it depends how old your daughter is, because if your daughter's my daughter's age, it's cool. But if she's 15, you're not going to explain it in the same way. So
you don't have as much control over it as well when the teenager, surely, because of like social media's got a big part.
And but also don't underestimate the power of TV and all of this on young children, because I'll never forget Daisy watching something on a well-known internet streaming video thing, and she coming in and she's saying, Mummy, if I eat chocolate, I'm going to get cavities, my teeth are going to fall out, so never give me chocolate again. So what I'm just trying to build in Daisy's head is a really positive association with food and actually where food comes from and how we cook it, and enjoy cooking has been a really big thing for her. So like, I bought her own set of chopping knives, kid friendly, and she's involved in the process. If your daughter's a little bit older, maybe I talk to her about the importance of feeling positive about your body and the importance of food and how the positives of eating good foods, because actually it's trying to sell the benefit to young people, isn't it? That actually, if you eat really good, wholesome food, you're going to sleep better, you're going to have more energy, your brain's going to work better in school, rather than saying, don't do that, it's bad, you're going to get fat, which is a lot of what we heard when we were growing up. Well, I know I did, and watching my mum trying to lose weight and all of that, I didn't want Daisy to ever, ever worry. So, you know, I walk around naked, I let my wobbly bits wobble because I want her, sorry, too much information, but I want her to see that that's cool, that mummy's not hiding and mummy's positive and proud.
I think
that's how I handle it.
It's hard though, isn't it? Because if you're not feeling that confident yourself,
so hard.
That's like kind of almost an added pressure, really, to feel like I should be behaving this way, I should be saying that. And it's really difficult when you're not there yet yourself. Like, we're 100%. Further on the journey, right?
100%.
So then it's kind of,
I think what I've learned is, because I am not body positive 100% of the time, is that I don't let that leak into Daisy. So I might say to Phil, look, what does this dress look like? Do I look fat in it? Like, is this a bit wobbling? But in front of Daisy, I don't let that happen. So it's almost like I have to, And this is just how I deal with it. I am a woman of two halves, and I try and concentrate on actually the food being something that's fun and healthy and yummy and gorgeous. And yes, mummy does love ice cream and mummy does love chocolate, and we have that, and that's cool, because I think it's the off limits, the bad, the naughty. I don't want her to ever think something's naughty. Do you know what I mean? Because how many of us have got that in our head, or had the thing, and I never say it to her, you can't have your pudding until you've eaten your broccoli. Because actually, what am I trying to enforce there? I'm saying, you've got to eat this to be able to eat that. Whereas this is about making choice and informed choice. So I don't think anyone's got the right answer. And I think it's about you and your child, really, isn't it?
What's the programme with Slimming World that's for young people? So tell me about that.
11 to 15-year-olds, that's free to go. It's an amazing program that is free of charge for 11 to 15 year olds. And that is, again, about creating, nothing's off limits, but there are different foods that do our bodies and our health more good than others. So actually, we look at and having an abundance is all that beautiful free food and those healthy extras, unless they're things like cereal bars, that they can go in lovely quantities too. You wouldn't need to restrict them, but we'd look at taking free food first. And then it would be about making smart, cool swaps. So swapping from, you know, if you were going to go for a burger in a well-known place, you maybe would swap from going from the biggest burger to a smaller burger, and then eventually let's make it at home and make it a really healthy option. So it's about making that positive association, and swaps around food is free to go. And I think that's how I've maybe tried to go with days, is about actually let's look at this first, but nothing's off limits.
Yeah. I also think, like, you know what they say about when you're on an aeroplane and you've got to put your own mask on before you can fit others. Like, yeah. Sometimes don't discount the fact that if you're not feeling that confident yourself, then 100%. Take some time out your schedule to work on you, yeah. Which then ultimately will show your daughter and your children that, like, you know, you'll feel stronger, you'll feel, yeah. Like you're kind of able to be that role model that maybe
exactly.
You want to be.
And I'm all about honesty as well with Daisy. So, you know, Daisy's seen a lot of mummy being poorly, and a lot of sometimes I'll say, oh, do you know what, mummy doesn't feel great in that today, so I'm going to wear something else. And I'm honest about how I may be feeling, but not in a negative way, because I don't want her to put on a pair of jeans and go, oh, these are too tight or anything like that. It's a minefield, if I'm honest. And I think it's also, you know, daughters are one thing, but I think we have to be really honest about maybe we're not as open-minded with young boys as well. Like, we have to realize any child is gonna get an impact of how we talk and feel around food. So it's noticing just maybe our use of language, and maybe just swapping a few words around. I don't know what you think,
making it fun. I think if, yeah. We can all do body magic together and we can cook,
yes.
Together, it's something
thing.
That I think I recognize maybe, yeah. You know, we didn't do as a family,
yeah,
growing
totally.
Up. And now I kind of think, yeah, if I want to make that part of my life, it shouldn't be, I need to do that, and now I can go and
this.
Have family
together.
Time.
Yeah. Daisy and I love to run around. She loves to go on long walks. She loves to run. She likes me to take her out on a bike. Like, it's making it part of your family life, isn't it? So, yeah, I hope that helps, Jo.
So dating has also come up here as well. Ruth has put, can I get advice about dating and Slimming World? What do we do dating-wise when they suggest meals out or dating ideas? I've just got back from a bad date, only went for hot chocolate. But when I go on meal dates, I feel obliged to order real food and not the healthy options. Any advice would be great, even suggestions for cheap non-food date ideas. Thank you for the podcasts. I'm on my Slimming World for the fifth time, wanting to lose weight and keep it off. Interesting that Kate actually sent us a message.
Yeah.
And Kate, I'm going to read this to you. Ruth, I'm going to read this from Kate. Kate says she just turned a drinks date into a walk and a coffee, and she felt so much better about it.
Yes.
I think that is a big thing, because how much of our socialising comes around to drinks, coffee and food.
Mm.
And actually, like, the thing that I really struggle with dating is you're actually spending a lot of time with strangers, talking to them and then seeing them. Sometimes you see strangers more than you see your own friends,
yeah.
When you're actually giving the dating thing a proper go. And they can just be like that one meal or that one day and then you never see them again. And it's uncomfortable, it's scary, it's fearful. You're very kind of like, you're putting yourself out there. It could be quite vulnerable because if you've been hurt before, you're like, oh my God, will I get hurt again? Mm. What will they think of me? We're already perhaps when we're doing a weight loss journey, a little bit worried about how we look and a bit conscious of ourselves. And so I think with all that, it's easy to kind of go, and if you're someone who turns to food as a comfort, then you kind of almost want to stuff yourself full of food just to get through.
Yes, of course.
Like, you know, the amount of times I would need to have like 2 glasses of wine just to go to the date, turn up.
Imagine, yeah.
So yeah, I think having a doing date is like, go to places that you haven't been before. Is there, like round here we've got National Trust places, Dunham Massey, you know, we went to Tatton Park the other week, didn't we? So are the places and things that you want to do, which then you could just get that person to just come along with you, and you're doing something that you want to, it just happens to be that they're joining you for the crack, really.
I was, Phil and I took Daisy to a pottery cafe, you know, we'd do the painting, and it was so funny. We were the only family in there, the rest were dating people. It was brilliant to watch, but I thought, what a clever date. Like, do you mean, actually I can have a cup of tea here or a coffee, but there's no food and I'm interacting. So I think non-food related things, or I had a girl who was like, I'll cook for you, come to my house. And this is a few dates in.
Definitely not first date.
No, please don't do this on your first date. You know, but they've been on maybe like 5 or 6 dates, and she was like, I'll cook for you, so come to my house. She just food optimised him a curry. He had no idea. Do you know what I mean? I think it's as big a deal as maybe you make it. And I've had some people who've been very honest about it. I've equally had some people who haven't wanted anyone to know. So I think if you can maybe, you know, because if you think, if you don't want to eat, maybe they don't want to eat. Like, it's just a thing we do, isn't it? Like, let me take you for a drink, or let's go for something to eat. Do we know the blokes want to do that? Do we know the other people we're dating want to do that? So maybe just something fun. If I was dating, I'd want to do fun things.
Yeah, you say that when you start dating. But once you've been dating for a few years or 3 months,
and you're a bit jaded.
So
what would your ideal of date be?
I also think that with the doing date, that it takes the pressure of having to sit opposite someone and make conversation.
Yes.
You have
something
like
to talk about.
Something. Yes, yeah. There's a kind of another reason there for you connecting, and it takes the pressure off. And it is really difficult because, like, obviously, when I kind of went back dating in previous years, I was not only doing Slimming World, but I was also not drinking. And so that's quite a heavy conversation to have with someone.
Don't
like, oh, I don't really, and I did go to pubs for first dates. I just said to them, oh, I'm just not drinking tonight. And then, but by the time we got to like kind of maybe date two, then I'd need to give a bit more explanation.
Because
maybe one date that I'm not drinking, it's, oh, she's driving,
she's got
an early
morning.
One of the best dates I ever went on with Phil, when we were obviously about 4, it's a dog climbing a tree. It's putting me off a little bit. Is we went ice skating.
Give some context? Because you just slipped that into it. No one else saw what we just saw. There was a dog next to us that was jumping a tree.
It was jumping the tree.
But you made it sound like you went from talking about Phil to a dog. And like as if Phil and the dog was, they were two separate stories.
Sorry.
That's how Anna's brain works. She assumes that you can see what we can see.
Sorry.
She can't. Tell us a story about Phil.
So one of the best dates we went on was ice skating and rollerblading, because again, it was something that was fun. It was something that we could do together, and you know, maybe took the pressure off. I could fall into his arms and he could rescue me. So yeah,
I think the biggest thing is be honest, okay? Totally be honest, Ruth, if you want. Maybe 2 or 3 dates in, explain your story and say, this is where I'm at. I'm on this journey at the moment. And I think you'll be surprised, because if someone is good for you, they will want to support you. They will back you. And those are the people that you want to spend your time with, not these strangers who you're just going to pass a little bit of time to make yourself feel better for now and again. But ultimately, in a few months, it's going to fizzle out. Be honest. And also, there's this thing like called The Artist Way. It's a book, and it talks about going on a date with yourself. And how we all need to like ourselves. So why wouldn't we date ourselves? We've changed. We're not the people now that we were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like, having a bit of time out on our own, go for coffees on your own, go for walks on your own.
I
like, just kind of listen to what your thoughts are, as if you like I don't know, having an internal conversation with yourself, whatever. Do drawings, do things that bring you fun. You don't have to go and find another person to do that with.
Oh, I like that.
And ultimately, that means you're just more confident, and it puts you in a fresher, happier place. Where I've been sat in like an old pub with a roaring fire in front of me before, well into my book, and this guy tapped me on the shoulder and said, I just want to say, I really respect you. You look like you're having a great time on your own. I was like, bit patronising. But I was totally just in my zone. I just decided I need to get out for a few hours. So I just went to the pub on my own, sat next to the fire, had my book, and I was just away in my own little world, enjoying my time, rather than staying at home, just beat myself up because I didn't have anyone to go to the pub with. Yeah. Just live life. And then if you're in that situation, you might meet people in real life. Who knows?
One of my friends met her now husband in the supermarket.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? There you go. I often take myself to the supermarket on my own, but that's just to escape my feral child. But, you know, you could find yourself a husband. So good luck, sweetheart.
Right, back to Slimming World. Okay.
Back to Slimming World.
Back to Slimming World. This is an interesting one. I'm curious about what you say about this. So Rowan sent us a message about around BMI, how important BMI is for target weight, for choosing it. So she's lost 10 stone, 3 pounds, she's still technically out of a healthy BMI range by about another half stone. Should she lower her target? She was listening on a train to Liverpool on her way to collect keys to a new flat, ready for a new job after getting to Target. I'm flipping it, Rowan.
Rowan, in short, no.
So hang on. So no, BMI is not important for a target for setting your target weight.
Strip this right back. When Margaret started Slimming World, one of her biggest kind of wants for Slimming World was that people chose their own weight loss target for a number of reasons. As people trying to lose weight, there is nothing less empowering than someone saying, you're this age, you're this height, you should be this weight. Because actually, if I lined up 10 women my age of my weight, we would all look totally and utterly different. What we also know, when people are given a target that isn't theirs, they are far less likely to achieve it than people who choose their own target. So that is why we've always promoted and said to all our members, you choose your own target. You can set interim ones, you can set a final one, you can see how you get on and then pick once you get there. But it is very, very important that it is yours, because having been in a place where I had to lose weight to have surgery, it was horrible. It was totally unempowering. It didn't motivate me. I just knew I had to do it to get away, you know, to get the surgery. So, you know, while it would be brilliant if everyone in the world was in a healthy BMI range for their, you know, all sorts of health benefits, you know, reducing their risk of cancer, diabetes, all of those things, as a company, there is nothing we want more than you to choose your own weight loss goal. Now, if that happens to fall within the BMI guidance and that's what you want, then brilliant. But if it doesn't, then that's not a kind of thing to batter yourself over the head with. Because what I would say to Rowan is, are you happy where you're at? Actually, you've lost 10 stone, 3 pounds. What that has done to your health is insane. That is the gift you've given to yourself is amazing. Just because you might not be within the green line on the BMI doesn't mean anything. So I think it's down to choice. You know, I know that my BMI is only just within the healthy range. And could I probably lose another 2 stone in the BMI thing? Actually, more than that, yes. I don't want to do that. That's not something that's sustainable for me. I think it's all about choice.
Yeah, I'm the same as well. I've never been in my healthy BMI, but I kind of feel like the strongest, the healthiest. Yeah. Like, you know, I've been to the gym and I've lifted barbells and got personal best for front squatting. Like, you know, I'm running, I'm walking 10,000 whatever it is steps average a day.
Yeah.
Like, eventually you just kind of think, you have to draw the line, don't you? And it's funny with the BMI thing, isn't it? Because it is a guide, I suppose. Health professionals need a guide
of
where are you at. And
it's more for us. The reason we have it within our kind of plethora of information is about making sure that we don't take people on to lose weight that it would be unhealthy for. Because there's the flip of the side, you know, people being in an unhealthy BMI that's too low. So this is all about choice. And I would just say to yourself, don't use BMI as a battering ram over your own head, because you've lost a whole person there, sweetheart. Do you know what I mean? Hope that helps.
See, Hazel says, like, when to stop coming. I've been at Target for 2.5 years. I still come to group every few weeks, but when to finally call it quits?
Oh, do you know what? There's no answer to this. I would say I've got Target members who've been at Target 15, 20 years. Equally, I've got Target members that after a year are like, I'm cool. Do you know what? And in an ideal world, I'd love all my members not to ever get on a set of scales again, because they're just cool and they fit in their jeans. Some people will want to keep coming. They love group. They want to have that little check-in. Some people know they're cooked after a year, 3 months, whatever it is. So I would say it's very, very personal, but know that you're always welcome.
Well, let's just kind of wrap up then by talking about non-scale victories.
Lovely.
You know, because we get so fixed on the number of the scale. And Alison sent a message to us. Thanks for sending this, Alison. You know, like, we get focused on the number of the scale, but if it doesn't change, we can lose motivation. You know, we ask ourselves, what's the point in trying if we're not losing weight? And she kind of puts a series of questions here, which maybe one or two of these you might be able to think about when you're doing your journaling later on or today. You know, what about the inches that you've lost? Can you now walk up your stairs without getting breathless? Can you fit into those old pair of jeans that have just sat in the cupboard? Can you do exercises you previously couldn't? Has your skin cleared up from not eating all the junk food? Have you had compliments from people? You know, do you look in the mirror and then you feel happier at what you see? And actually, I think for some people, do you look in the mirror?
Yes.
Full stop.
100%.
You know, can you look down now and see your feet instead of just a belly? Can you see your knees? Can you see other bits?
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's a really interesting point, is about non-scale victories. And actually, Jess here says, today I'm really proud of myself because I resisted a cream donut. Ooh. Before, I would have eaten it in secret, I wouldn't have counted it, and then I would have wondered why I wasn't losing weight. Thank you so much, ladies. Your podcasts are keeping me on track. I've lost a stone in my first 12 weeks. I mean, brilliant, right? And I think you're right about, like, the numbers and moving away from that and thinking about the non-scale victories and celebrating the wins and being kind to ourselves and noticing these little habit changes and these little steps, these consistent kind of habits that we're building into our lifestyles.
They're the key. Do you know what? Because actually the numbers only take you so far, but the fact that, you know, you can see your feet and, you know, you're not like breathless, they're amazing things. Like, and we lose sight of that. We really, really do. I was talking to my group about this last week, actually, and getting them all to talk about what they had achieved that wasn't on the scales. And some of the things people could do that they'd never done before is insane. One lady said, I've stopped having to buy indigestion tablets every day. Like, how good's that? Like,
yes.
Stuff like that. I could paint my own toenails. I remember when my tummy was so big, I couldn't. It was like I was pregnant. I couldn't paint my own toenails.
Yeah.
So...
well, that's all for this week. Send us your comments, your light bulb moments, whatever you may have, at Slimming World Podcast on Instagram. We're emails, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Have a great week, and we hope that maybe in the future you might be going on one of those planes above our heads to somewhere lovely.
There's been 17 planes. I've counted them.
How you haven't?
I have. I promise you. I've counted every single plane that's going to be.
See, now 17. People are going to listen to this episode again and do a tally and see if Anna's right. Let us know. Have a great week.